Gossip Curl, the podcast about all things hair.
Hi, and welcome back to Gossip Curl, the podcast about all things hair. My name is Hadna Tesfai. I am your host in this wonderful space where we get into hair. All kinds of hair, all types of hair, all lengths of it. And I am here with the fantastic Ian Mayer Marsalek. Hi,
hey,
Ian.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being back on this podcast.
Absolutely.
Ian, in the very first episode, we talk about what hair really means. Not so much what it is, but what it means to us as humans, right? And kind of like taking it from there, I want to talk about why humans actually have hair, because we can do all kinds of cute things with it, but that's not why we have hair. Why do we have hair? Why?
I mean, okay. So.
And because, can I say this?
Yeah.
I mean, we pay some of us, maybe me, we pay a lot of money to get rid of some hair and are desperately trying to keep hair on other places of our body, right?
Yeah.
So why do we have hair?
So yeah, it's a struggle with trying to keep what we've got where we want it and then get rid of it where we don't. Mm-hmm. But that was not the case. I don't know how many thousands of years ago. But when people... like humans started to like walk on the planet Earth. A lot of them were kind of concentrated towards the center of the equator. And so hair originally, I mean, for lack of lots of research, started as like a solar shield. Mm-hmm. And humans, you know, started to then walk more upright. Mm-hmm. And so hair was initially... A protection from the sun. Mm-hmm. And so when we started walking upright, because humans' brains are like really sensitive to temperature, hair stayed on our head, but then slowly disappeared from our body because hair also acts as an insulation. Mm-hmm. So it started to disappear from our bodies in bulk, because I've seen some hairy people out there. Cool is sweating, mm-hmm. and evaporating, mm-hmm. is your body's way to cool itself. Mm-hmm. And so while we do sweat still from the top of our heads, because we walk upright, it is the way that nature has provided us a protection from the sun.
Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting because, simultaneously to losing hair, we probably started covering up our bodies in a way.
Yeah. I mean, if I were a designer, I would absolutely run with that. No, but yeah, I would imagine like, clothing, a whole, you know, topic is, yes, probably in a way, some sort of way to shield your bits from the sun.
Right. Not only, but also growing hair on your bits. I mean, going into that.
Yeah.
It means something.
Yes.
It means it kind of like signals something to the outer world.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I am not a human origin story expert, but mm-hmm. I did do some research before I came here,
right.
On the significance mm-hmm. in hair and what it meant. And like a long, 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 long time ago, again, when people were like walking around with like leather patches on their naughty bits, mm-hmm. Mating, humans are meant mm-hmm. to procreate.
Right.
And, you know, a female would see, you know, males, and the ones that have established hair on their bodies, because that's what happens to us as we grew up, all of us actually, signaled that they were ready to procreate. Mm-hmm.
So it's like an evolutionary thing as well, right?
Yep.
To like, oh, beard, okay, good.
Yeah. I mean, it also signaled, you know, maturity, mm-hmm. Because, you know, young men typically mm-hmm. cannot or don't grow a lot of facial hair, like mm-hmm. rocking a solid beard. Mm-hmm. But as you age, you do. And so that kind of signaled maturity. So hair in general, whether it's on your head, your face, or your body, really signified a lot in culture, age, groupings, mateability, quite a bit.
Let's jump forward a couple thousand years,
yes,
I think,
please.
To where we feel a lot more comfortable, you and me.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the 20th century.
Yep.
What can you tell me about Schwarzkopf then?
So, fun fact, I work for this brand called Schwarzkopf. And started in Germany and way back in the day. Hans Schwarzkopf started this apothecary actually in Berlin, dealing in dyes, drugs, perfumes, and things of that nature. Did you know, way back early 1900s, from 1898 to 1903, this is the time frame that I specifically know, women were still setting their hair with like really heavy setting lotions and then wearing it for a very long time because, you know, girl wasn't going to the salon once a week to get, you know, a blowout. They had to last.
Wow. How long did it have to last? Are we talking like 2 weeks?
No longer.
Longer than that?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So then like you think about like what kind of funk builds up under that on their scalp and whatnot. Yeah. So here's the kicker. Way back then, people used to cleanse their hair with kerosene.
Interesting.
Like the lamp lighter fluid.
Whew.
Or lye. Which is a hella harsh soap that people like launderers use in it's crazy alkaline. I mean, no matter which way you slice it, each one of those things is incredibly damaging to your hair.
Okay.
Like if you could imagine washing your hair with gasoline.
What interesting.
Today,
yes.
Right. What that hair would feel like. So
crunchy.
Hans Schwarzkopf in 1903 was commissioned to make the very first ever powdered shampoo. And it was a flake shampoo that you'd add water to, and it was still alkaline, which acidity and pH we'll get into another episode, but it was so much better than washing your hair in petrol. Mm-hmm. So it was the first ever commissioned shampoo. And then, he developed the very first ever liquid shampoo and then the first ever acidic shampoo. And so I just think that's such a cool, like this whole company that I've worked for such a long time, like we started in shampoo.
That is so interesting because come to think about it, like even before that, but we're not going to go back in history again. We're going to move forward from now on, right? But it's so interesting just to think about the fact, and we have a full episode on wash days coming up for you because not all wash days are created equal. but just to think about when hair care started and how different it's become over the centuries, because we've always had hair. We always wanted to do funny things with it or interesting things with it, adorn it, hide it under wigs, do this with it, do that with it. But to think that, I mean, technology only started giving us industrially, produced and manufactured hair care until like 120 years ago.
That is
interesting.
Yeah.
So going through time, right? That does change something, hair care.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure it changes hairstyles as well.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, I've been fascinated throughout my life seeing like these coffee table books that'll be like hair through the decades. Or like if you're flipping through Instagram, every once in a while you see like the morphing pictures of like men's styles or whatever. But like 1920s, for example, we're moving from 1903 to 1920s now.
Yeah.
You know, men's styles were very like slick. Like you could see a reflection in like how slick they had to be because that meant cleanliness and like a parting meant, you know, like order.
Right.
And keeping it cut tight. And, you know, and women were still doing their hair like that. But then, you know, in every decade, there's some sort of rebellion with trends and the way people wear their hair. And so in the 20s, like you'll see now, even today, like a lot of like Halloween costumes that are like the flapper girl. It's a bob.
It has a specific hairstyle.
It's a very specific hairstyle because women were supposed to have long hair because that meant femininity. So these other, you know, women, subset of women were like, skip that noise. I'm cutting it off. I'm going to do a bob.
Right.
And so I think probably like one of the most like recent shows that I can think of is Downton Abbey.
Right.
The daughter, like she had that bob and like she was rocking it. But then like, you know, the grandmother still had that like coiffed up, curled, coily.
Also kind of crunchy.
You know, it's a look. It's a choice.
It's a choice. A decision was made.
100%. Yeah. And then you just move on through the decades where like hair got longer, hair got shorter, you know, in the 60s, you know, the bob came back again.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Vidal Sassoon,
right,
who kind of like introduced like the high precision technical bob cut,
which also reflects the time,
yeah,
right? Because we're like, what, looking at space age, everything is, uh-huh, like really forward, everything is like pointed, we're going to the moon and we need the technical haircut that yeah, goes with it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In a way, right?
Yeah.
And at the same time, what you have in that period of time is people also discovering their texture, which is also, mm-hmm, a sort of rebellion,
yep,
right? People kind of like going like, let's ditch the relaxers, let's wear the fro, right?
You,
that's also some sort of like act of freedom almost,
yeah,
you know, right? It's really interesting. And then take me to the other decades.
I mean, it is kind of funny how like style, trend, and conformity,
mm-hmm,
flip-flop throughout the years. Because then, you know, 60s, like when like, you know, the bob came back, mm-hmm, and the other kind of women had like this giant bouffanty kind,
mm-hmm,
of moments,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
you know, you get in the 70s when like, you know, men were starting to grow their hair long, like this kind of hippie vibe, and women were doing like fun little accessories in their hair. And then 80s was just a full blown panic attack of the bigger, the better froze. Perms.
Oh my God.
The mullet, like men were doing this like blow dried coif kind of up and back moment.
And the bleaching.
Oh God.
Oh my, it was almost reckless the, yeah, way they would bleach their hair,
yeah,
no?
Yeah, and perming.
Ugh.
I mean, like the texture really came about for a lot of people who didn't naturally have curly hair,
yeah,
in the 80s. That's what we did. That's what, mm-hmm, you did. You got perms and did all that. And then it just kind of has evolved, flip-flopping over time. But as we educate ourselves more, and I say us as hairdressers, we kind of harness the opportunities that cutting and coloring techniques and texture techniques, whether it's straightening, relaxing, perming, waving, or diminishing texture by like these smoothing systems.
Mm-hmm.
When you wrap all that up together, I really feel like hair has come to a place where if you want, you can be really high maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow I feel like the opposite is also okay right now.
Mm-hmm,
right? Like people,
mm-hmm,
are just kind of rocking whatever they are born with.
I want to get into that real quick, but before we do that, and also I want to talk to you about the role social media plays now.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes not only to creating trends, but also the possibility it gives you, right? I want to go back to, because you said all those different techniques,
yeah,
that people developed over the years. Do you think, and because also you're like the global ambassador for like upskilling.
Yeah,
right?
Hair upskilling
hair
manager.
Hair upskilling manager, right? Which is also about skill. Do you think the skill has also developed, not necessarily the technologies that are available to you, but the skill, the actual skill of cutting, doing a perm, doing this, doing that, has that changed over the years?
What. Yeah, I'm going to age myself just a little bit here.
Go
and
ahead.
Say that I graduated what we call in America beauty school,
yeah,
or cosmetology school, if you're fancy. And in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
My full head of highlights,
mm-hmm,
versus what people are graduating school now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the same. My favorite analogy, like, mm-hmm, if you're in your 40s, 30s or 40s,
mm-hmm,
what did your school picture look like when you were 10 years old versus kids now who, yeah, are 10 years old?
Right,
these,
right,
the little,
right,
girls are like rocking, you know, balayage and boys with little fade cuts. Like, I look like somebody put a bowl over my head cockeyed and went at me with trimmer. Like, no.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like the same is true with like the skill level, because social media has, you know, for better or worse, and I do believe both.
Yeah.
Forced people to look at what they do and figure out how they can do it better than the person next to them who's doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm. But isn't that, how much pressure does that put on people that are in cosmetology school right now, the people that are in beauty school, that are learning, right? That does put a lot of pressure on you to kind of like, I feel from, you know, as someone who hasn't been to cosmetology school, it puts so much pressure on younger people going through the learning phase of it all, that they kind of feel like they have to present a fully developed product to the world.
A portfolio, if you will. Yep.
But that's not fair. Where does that give you room to grow? And where do you, so is it that you make those, do you have those experiences in private where nobody can see it? Where do you put that? You know what I mean?
I mean, if I showed you my mannequin head skeleton closet from when I was in school, I mean, there is some atrocities in there.
Those poor mannequins. What did you do to them?
Oh, God.
Oh,
no.
My God. Do they have hair still?
And some don't, no. But those were when I was learning how to fade hair. So, yeah, I do think there's a lot of pressure on hairdressers. But I think this is advice that I give, younger hairdressers or educators that I have an impact on. But I think that this advice goes for a lot of other industries in general right now, whether you're sales, marketing, art, whatever. Nobody can be everything for everybody. Mm-hmm. So what do you like? What are you passionate about? And run with that and be the best at it. Because you can't be the master cutter, color, texture, smooth. I guess they're out there, right? Mm-hmm. It's not me.
Unicorns.
Yeah.
They're also out there.
But what do you love? Own it, run with it, research it, come up with something new about it, and just make that your niche, because the people down the street next to you, around you, or whatever, have something else to offer.
Okay, but from a consumer perspective, sure. Ian, right? To take us to here and now.
Yeah.
What I sometimes find really difficult to navigate is I do not want to go to 15 different salons, because I get my hair cut there and then I get my color there and then I get, I don't know, my styling there. Is it, don't we also just need people who can do everything just solidly, be a solid hairdresser?
Yes.
You don't have to excel. I don't need you to, because, I don't need this blah, 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 when I'm doing a school run. You know what I mean? I don't need it on a Tuesday morning when I'm going to class.
Correct.
You know what I mean? So
I think if you, there are hairdressers out there who are very well-rounded and very well-respected, as they should be. I grew up in a time where you specialized in chemicals or cutting, and so I really found my niche in color. Mm-hmm. Can I do both? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can I do both well?
Equally.
No, I don't know. Yeah. But, if I were going to give my friend a haircut, if she wanted like a trim. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And so I think some people value certain things about their hair more than others. Mm-hmm. So if I'm pouring money into balayage and I want long hair, I'm cool with getting by with trimming it.
Yeah.
Maybe I do a big haircut twice a year.
Right.
But I don't need somebody who's, Fidel Sassoon, to do my trims every appointment. So.
Because, especially in this economy, and we're going to talk about, we kind of in passing talked about it in the first episode, but I want to get a little bit deeper into it, because in this economy, not everyone can afford that.
Yep.
Right. So, your advice is to kind of stick to one thing that you want to stand out and spend money on that. That's number one. And number two is, how does the economy and where we are, whether we are up here or down here right now, how does that shape trends?
Okay. To your first question, if you've got the money, hit it.
Go.
Get that color, do the all over bleach, because that is the highest maintenance hair color I think that pretty much there is.
We also have a full episode. We have two episodes on hair, one on hair color and one on bleaching. So stay tuned for that.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
So if you got it, do it, if it's tough times, which, it is, some people have to prioritize.
Right.
And so I color my own hair, but I go to somebody to have it cut. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people are making sacrifices to their hair in that way if things are tight, because that's kind of just, when money's tight, you're like, do we keep cable or do we buy nice groceries? somewhere there has to be a give. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting, and we talked about this in the last episode, was economic times shape trends. And you can kind of see that throughout the decades with the trends that have evolved. And if you look closer, almost always, maybe there's a war or something that broke out where, like, you know, things get more expensive over here. So I have to balance that over here. I had mentioned, you know, men's mullets or just mullets in general, like, you know, business in the front, party in the back. Like if you're cutting your own hair, that's quite literally the easiest haircut for you to do. Or like one length trims, you know, like layers and curls and blowouts and things like that might take a back seat, but that's not everybody. And so I think hairdressers can still survive with the kaleidoscope of different kinds of clients that they get, or people do it themselves.
Right. And this is, I feel like, where we are right now. Just more and more people doing more and more things at home.
Yep.
Right. Is it like, what are the limits to that?
You know what? I'm going to be perfectly honest with you.
Go ahead.
A professional hairdresser. I work for a professional company. Do I want everybody to go hairdresser? Yeah, of course. But
because you care about hairdressers.
I very much do.
You do care about hairdressers. Yeah.
But what I'm seeing as well is like, maybe, you know, I go to the salon and I both highlight and I color my hair. What I'm seeing, and I'm just whatever people are comfortable with. So hairdressers, I am not promoting this. I'm just saying whatever people are going to be comfortable with, they're going to be comfortable with. But maybe those people who they color their own grays at home, you know, every 3 weeks for like the two times at home, then they go in for the big visit, which is the color and the highlights or whatever. What are the limits to coloring at home? With YouTube and how savvy people are getting with, you know, color application and how much it's splashed out in media, I'm telling you what, there's some funny fails that I've seen on YouTube.
Yeah.
But there's also some like, what?
Oh my God, they did that.
Wow. That's okay. And here's what, I'll end on a high note on that. There's a lot of companies of professional color and at-home color.
Right.
And you need to have availability of color for everybody out there. And maybe I just don't like going to the salon. I can't afford to go to the salon, but I want to do some stuff to my hair. I want to, you know, bleach it, color my grays, make it shinier, whatever. There should be something available to everybody based on wherever they're at in life.
And is there more available? Are companies picking up on that?
Some are, some aren't. What I'm noticing right now with like shopping and consumer trends, there's companies that are really specializing a lot more in specific niches.
Okay, interesting.
But then also there's companies that are doing multifunctional products, like a 10-in-1 or like, you know, it does all these things because some people aren't wanting to spend money on 6 products or whatever. So it's really a mixed bag right now in 2026.
And apart from the fact what you can and cannot do at home, you know, do you think that trends are changing too quickly, coming and going too quickly?
If you...
It's hard to keep up.
It is.
It's so hard to keep up. Like sometimes I don't even know what this technique is.
Okay, well, I'll be honest with you. As a hairdresser, sometimes when people come in, they're like, what's new? You're like, it's quick.
I'm so happy to hear that you're saying that.
Yeah. No, I mean, we keep up with trends, but like, it is hard. They are quick. You know, I come from the US where we are very celebrity based, whereas in other parts of the world, they look to fashion and trends in other places. But like paparazzi can take a picture of, you know, J-Lo or, you know, some other celebrity walking down the street. Now all of a sudden clients are asking for that. Or people are trying to achieve that on their own at home. And then next week, they're getting a picture of Cameron Diaz's, you know, cute new extension shade of blonde, or like the Bissette actress, Carolyn Bissette.
Yeah.
I mean,
that 90s.
The new show, the new color, the new trend.
Right. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I'm like one Instagram reel or one TikTok video away from getting the Zendaya haircut. Mm-hmm. Like if it, and my algorithms are pushing that on me hard. Like they're like,
are our phones in the room? It's going to come up even more.
Oh
now.
Oh my God. No, I mean, it's already there. Yeah. It's already there. So I'm like really heavily influenced by that as well. Even though I'm like a grown ass woman.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I'm like, I know what this means. Cutting my hair, you know, but still it's there and it's putting some pressure on me, which is really interesting. Right. But yes. Okay. So even you guys, the professionals, mm-hmm. you're getting sometimes overwhelmed by it.
Yes.
It's just really, really, it's really good to hear.
Yeah, 100%.
Because you start to feel left out. First time somebody, like this is a while ago, by now I know what it means. But when somebody said, you had like a wolf cut. I was like, what do you mean a wolf cut? Like, what is a wolf cut? But, and then you just realize it's somewhere in between a mullet and a shag.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, yeah, I know what that is. But then you kind of go like that trend.
You know, you just sparked, I want to know.
Go ahead.
To do the research, and maybe we'll put it in the comments of where this podcast lives. But like, what year uh-huh. did that specifically become popular? Because I would bet, if I were a gambling man, I'd bet €5 that became a trend as a result of people maybe wanting to create their own shaggy look at home by themselves.
Interesting. That could be a thing.
Because I'll tell you the techniques I have seen for that to be done is three sections. You grab the top, you make a cut. You grab the middle, you make a cut.
Right.
I'll tell you what, a professional hairdresser who's been trained would look at that and be like, okay. So I would bet that's maybe where that started, but I don't know that for sure. But
listen, if you know, let us know in the comments because... Right. And also maybe you want to let us know when's the first time that you ever heard of a wolf cat and did you see it? Did you ever get it done? Let us know how that worked for you. I'd be really curious to find out. Also, whoever wants to grab Ian's €5, you know what to do. You know what to do. All of your money, €5. Right. So, Ian, thank you so much for taking us through the history of hair, the trends. And listen, we're going to try and get some order into all of the information that is out there in the next few episodes of Gossip Curl, the podcast about all things hair. Thank you so much, Ian.
Absolutely. Thank
you. So much fun. See you. Bye.
Gossip Curl, the podcast about all things hair. With me, your host, Hadna Tesfai. A podcast from Henkel Consumer Brands, brought to you by the Global Hair Upskilling Team, produced by Bose Park Productions. Executive producers, Manjana Dietrich, Sue Holder, and Chris Guse. Editor, Ian Mayer-Marsalek. Production, Fabio Lautenschläger. Project Management, Miki Sitsch. Hair and Makeup, Rania Abdurrahman, Ariel Tross. Styling, Romina Mann. If you like Gossip Curl, please subscribe to the podcast, hit the notification bell so you don't miss an episode. And while you're at it, leave us a review and tell all your friends about us.